And I pray that this time that we spend in worship together will be a time that will be uplifting to you and will glorify God. So thank you very much for being here. We're beginning a new series of lessons this morning that I'm calling Heart Matters. And this is going to be a look at the life of David. There's a lot of different things that have gone on in the life of David that really speak to our heart. And they are really a challenge for us to look into our own hearts and to see what can we do. And like we were talking about in our Bible class time this morning, you know, kind of like looking into a mirror and seeing maybe there's some adjustments I need to make, some changes and things of that nature. So I hope that you will look forward to each Sunday morning being here with us for our worship time as we look into a study of the life of David, as it has to do with the fact that the heart really does matter. Okay, before we begin our lesson this morning, I want to remind you that this evening at 5 o'clock, we're going to be having our fourth Sunday fellowship, and we're doing taco night. I'm going to provide the meat, seasoned meat for the tacos, need for you to bring all the other stuff, taco shells, cheese, lettuce, whatever you like to put in tacos, bring all of that, and we're just going to have a time of fellowship, and we're going to try to do a little bit of singing this evening. So that's 5 o'clock here in the fellowship hall, right? Now, a couple of other things that are going on to remind you about now. Pay attention to the change on the time, okay? Men's breakfast this coming Saturday is 8 to 10, not 9 to 11 as it says on here, all right? So keep that in mind, guys. 8 o'clock in the morning, breakfast will be served. So I want to encourage you to come out for that, all right? And then we have Ladies' Day coming up two Saturdays from now. The 8th of April is our Ladies' Day. All our ladies, if you haven't registered yet, you can do that online at the church website. Go on there and register. And also, I need the guys to plan to come that day, that morning, and help us to serve lunch for the ladies. Dress for that for guys. Black pants, white dress shirt, and a bow tie. Black bow tie. If you don't have a bow tie, I've got some of those. So but please plan to come out. It's just a really great opportunity for us guys to be able to serve the ladies, just to make it a really, really special event. So that's what's happening next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday. Great big event for the church. And I don't remember, is this like the 13th or 14th annual Ladies Day that we've done? And it's really, really a special event. Ladies, if you have never been to one of the Ladies Days we've had, you really want to come and be a part of that, all right? So just for that. All right. How many of you remember when you were a kid growing up, this whole thing of choosing teams, maybe like a pickup game of baseball out in the field or whatever? You know how that normally goes, right? Normally, the most popular kids in the group are chosen first, all right? It doesn't really matter whether they're talented or not, but they're the most popular, so they get chosen for teams first. Then after that, the kids who have the most talent for whatever you're doing are normally picked for the teams. And then we have what's called the leftovers. You know, that's where usually I was in that group. You know, I wasn't really that tremendously talented as a kid. I had some talent, but, you know, I wasn't really great at a lot of things. But, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you guys can have this guy, and we'll give you these guys over here. Or you might have found out it's kind of like this, this particular cartoon that I found right here. We'll take, please just pick me, please, I don't want to be last. You, great guy. Any of you ever felt like this, being chosen for a team? No matter who else was there, you're going to be last in being chosen for a team. Why is that? Well, you know, we think about our culture today especially, and the way that things are done and the way we present things. Looks are everything, aren't they? Okay? I mean, think about our superheroes. They've got to look the part, don't they? All right, there's a certain look that we want from our superheroes, and if they don't look that way, then they're not really superheroes, because we have high standards. All right, they got to look the part. Even when it comes to churches and, you know, spokespersons for churches, the attractive celebrities. Think about this now: the attractive celebrities are the ones who are setting the moral standards in this country. All right, let's just let that sink in for just a moment, okay? Mm-hmm. They are the ones who are representing companies and corporations and all that, and being spokespersons on everything that you can think of, from the diet systems that we have to the restaurants that we go to. They represent and speak and try to get us, you know, even, you know, you got a back problem, you know, Shaq will tell you, you just need to get the Icy Hot patch, okay? By the way, I will tell you, that really works, okay? That is a real good one. But, you know, everything, and you look at it, aren't they pretty people? You see, they're just really attractive, pretty people that are up there that are representing the corporations that are trying to get us to participate and partake in whatever it is they have to offer, whatever it is that they are selling. The celebrities, these attractive people, the people that really look good are on the talk show circuits all over the place, aren't they? And they are giving their opinion about all kinds of different stuff, a lot of which you think they don't even know what in the world they're talking about. But they're up there giving their opinion about it. Why? Because they're attractive celebrities, you see. They are therefore important people in our culture. And this is kind of what the culture is really saying. We want you. America wants you. You notice what's in the parentheses there. If you're awesome, okay? In other words, you got to meet this certain standard. And usually the first thing that people are looking at is looks. What do you look like, okay? Determines whether or not you're going to get this job or that job, or you're going to get to do this or do that or whatever. It's all about the looks. Why are we so obsessed, if that's not true, with dieting and all this stuff and trying to get that perfect body? You see, I've been working on it for a while. It tells, doesn't it? You see? We just seem to be obsessed with our appearance. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take pride in what we look like. And, you know, like we were talking about again this morning, you know, make sure you look in the mirror, clean your face, and, you know, and so on and so forth. But this obsession with beauty, and that we've got to have, you know, looking just a certain perfect way on the outside without ever considering what is on the outside. You remember this guy, George Zimmer? He was the founder of the Men's Warehouse. Remember the commercials he used to advertise all the time? You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee you. Well, did you realize that they actually fired him? The company that he founded fired him back a few years ago as their spokesperson because he wasn't young enough. And they replaced him with a whole series of young, good-looking models to model their clothes. You see, it's all about the package, isn't it? What's on the outside? What does it look like on the outside? Okay? You see, I think what's happening is we see those who look the part, but we don't pay a whole lot of attention to the part. We look at the outside, but what's on the inside? In a lot of ways, we haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to that. We go and we buy the stuff the celebrities are selling us, even though the celebrities are living immoral lives. I'm not saying all of them are, but oftentimes that's exactly what's happening. We don't care what's on the inside of the cart, but as long as, you know, they look good. We're paying attention to them. We're listening to them. We're taking their advice. We're following everything they tell us to do. And some people even have posters of them up on their walls. Okay? Because they look good. They looked the part, but missed the heart. You see, we need to really, as we begin looking at David and talking about the fact that heart matters, we need to be able to know the difference between looking the part and not paying attention to the heart. Okay? Samuel was growing old. He was the leader of the Israelite people at that time. And he appointed his sons as judges for Israel, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, and they accepted bribes and perverted justice.
Yeah.
And that was the setting for what begins to unfold in this period of Israel's history that eventually brings David to power. Because as a result of Samuel's sons, all of the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came to Ramah, and they said to him, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. And look at this. Now appoint a king to lead us such as all the other nations have. Mm-hmm. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king.
Well,
that's what all the other nations around us have, is they have a king that leads them, and we want to be like them, and we want a king to lead us.
Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us that Samuel, when they said this to him, he was upset. He was greatly troubled. And he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him, he said, don't be distressed. It's not you that they rejected, it's me they rejected as their king. You see, God, up to that point, was the only king they needed. The only king they ever wanted. Until now. Now they want an earthly king so they can be like everyone else. So, the Lord pointed Samuel to the one that he had chosen to be the first king of Israel, and that was King Saul. But look at what the Bible says about Saul as he is presenting Saul to the people as he anoints him to be the first king. It says, he was an impressive young man without equal amongst the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. In other words, basically, Saul looked very kingly. That's a word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? It is now. I just made it one. He looked very kingly. He looked the part. You see? I mean, if you want a king, if you want somebody to lead your nation, then you get the biggest guy you can find, right? That's first and foremost. You get the biggest guy on the block, and he's going to stand out in front of everybody, and he's going to represent Israel. I'm the king. And it didn't help that he was young and he looked good. Okay? So the people of Israel could walk around going, we got us a king. And isn't he a good-looking king? You see? And that's what they asked for, and that's what they got. The problem is that Saul did not keep the Lord's commands. The Lord told Saul to do certain things, and Saul continued to disobey God. And so there came a point finally where the Lord told Samuel, I have rejected Saul as king. You see, Saul was a perfect example of someone who looked the part, but he lacked the heart. The heart of obedience to the Lord just simply was not there for Saul. He looked good as a king, but his heart inside wasn't good. It led him to over and over again disobey God's command. And so God rejected him as king. Look at what he says here, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. Samuel 2, Saul, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as a ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. You see the contrast,
right,
that God is making here. Here's you, Saul, one who is not obeying what the Lord has told you to do, and what the Lord is looking for is one who seeks after God's own heart. You see, because heart really does matter. And that's what God is looking for. So he sought after the man after his own heart. Why? Well, because heart really does matter. You see, the reality is, what's on the outside isn't as important as what's on the inside. Okay? Because heart really does matter. What's in a person's heart and where a person's heart is in relationship to God is the most important thing. And we see that in the kingship of David. Come to the second point here we want to look at. What are you looking at? Now, depending on, you know, your punctuation and your inflection, this question can mean different things, can't it? I mean, it could kind of be like this guy, okay? What are you looking at? You ever said that to someone? What are you looking at? Okay? Or it could just kind of be, what are you looking at? You say? Well, in other words, what's important for you? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the outside? Or are you looking at the inside. What are you looking at? Okay? The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" You see, Samuel was torn up by what was going on in the kingdom of Israel. He had been the leader of Israel, and then it was turned over to Saul, and Saul was disobedient, and God rejected him as a king. And Samuel was, he was grieving for Israel. He was grieving because Saul's kingship didn't work. But the Lord called upon Samuel and said, "Quit grieving over that. It's time to move on." Okay? It's time to move on. Move on to who? Well, God tells Samuel to go to Bethlehem, to the town where Jesse is from. Okay? When he arrives, now keep in mind, Samuel is a priest and a prophet, all right? And he's the leader, so to speak, religiously of all things of the Israelite people. So when Samuel goes somewhere, all right, people start to kind of get a little concerned about why he's there, because there's a history that not every time that God's prophet went somewhere, things turned out good, because sometimes people need to be rebuked. So there's this kind of reputation that is going on. So when Samuel arrives, the townspeople, they gather around and they basically say to him, "Have you come in peace?" They want to know, "Are you coming here for something good, or are you coming to rebuke us, or, something, did we do something bad?" They're trying to figure this out. "Why are you here, Samuel?" And Samuel says, "I've come in peace." So that kind of reassures them. They kind of lowers their stress level a little bit, the tension and so forth. "I've come in peace." Basically, he says that we're going to have a sacrifice. "I've come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord." And that's what the priest did. Okay? But this is a special sacrifice that is to be offered. He goes to the house of Jesse. Okay? And when he arrives at Jesse's house, in the text that we read as we began this morning, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." In other words, when Samuel saw Eliab, this big, strapping man, his first thought was, "Here's the next king of Israel." Why? Because he looked the part, didn't he? The outside appearance said king all over him. But he was not the one.
No.
The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
Amen.
You see, it is our tendency, isn't it, to look at what people look at on the outside. How do they look to our eyes, our physical eyes? And again, you see, we like nice-looking people, don't we? You see, pretty people. They're the ones who, we like to turn to for advice. And God, they're special because they look so good. But God says, that's not how I look at people. I look at people on the inside. You've heard the term before, over and over again, I'm sure. Don't judge, help me out, a book by its cover. Well, that's basically what God is saying right here. He says, I don't judge books by the cover of them. I judge them by what's on the inside. Okay? Because what's on the inside is what really counts, not what the outside looks like. So, Jesse brings all of his sons before Samuel. Okay? And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." None of them were the one that the Lord was looking at. "Do you have any more sons?" "Well, yeah, we got this one more. He's out in the field tending to the sheep." I like what Samuel says to him at the end of this. "Send for him for we will not sit down until he arrives.
Amen.
Does that tell you the determination that Samuel had to make sure that he found the one that God had chosen?
Amen.
You know, it could have been any one of them. You know, hey, we've already got seven opportunities here. And maybe that somebody might have been thinking a little bit to themselves like we do, especially on Sundays when the preacher's going a little bit long and we're going, hey, come on, can we get the sacrifice going? It's time to eat. I'm hungry. You know, just pick one. Any of us can be king, right? Come on. You know, hey, the food's getting cold. Let's hurry up. Let's eat. Let's have a sacrifice here. Samuel says, we're not going to sit down until he gets here. Why? Because he's on the Lord's mission. He's Amen. Looking for the one that the Lord has chosen. And we might be willing to settle for all kinds of other things. Have you ever thought about that, how willing we are to settle? To settle for something less than what God really wants you to have? Because you look at the outside of things instead of on the inside? We're really good, I think, at settling. And Satan is really good at giving us all kinds of those distractions. Like I said, you know, we're hungry and, you know, we're wasting time and, you know, all those kinds of things. So we're willing to settle. And Samuel refused to settle. We will not sit down until he arrives. Let that statement kind of sink in a little bit. All right? David finally shows up. The Bible doesn't tell us how long it took. They could have had two or three sacrifices by the time he got there. Who knows? He's out in the field tending sheep. But he finally shows up. And then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers.
Amen.
He was the one.
Yes.
And I suggest to you that he was the one worth waiting for. Because he's the one that the Lord had chosen. Not by what he looked like on the outside, but by what was on the inside. The Lord looked at David's heart. And we know that through many scriptures, and we're going to see as we go through this study, that David was known to have a heart, okay, that was for God. He was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
See? And he was then chosen to be the next king of Israel. You see, what we want to do in this study is we want to focus on the fact that heart really does matter.
Amen.
Okay? It's about heart matters, is what we're talking about. And through that, then we begin to understand more and more that heart really does matter. More than what's on the outside. More than what simply what we say or what we do. Heart matters. You see? And it always has. Looks and actions are empty without the heart. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Amen.
Why? Because heart matters. Okay? In Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21, look at what Jesus says about where our treasure needs to be. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, it's all about the heart. Where's your treasure? See? That depends on where your heart is. Because heart matters. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus is talking about the religious rulers. 15 verse 8, talking about the religious leaders of his day. Said, well, did Isaiah say of these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. In other words, they were saying all the right things. They were doing all the right things. They were following the rules of religion. But their hearts weren't in it. You see? They had no heart for God. They had a heart for following the rules, but they didn't have a heart for God. See? Jesus was asked the question, of all the commandments that have been given, what is the greatest? So all the rules, okay? What's the greatest of all the rules? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, okay? With all your soul and with all your mind. You see, heart really does matter. God doesn't want us to love Him half-heartedly, in other words. That won't work. So He wants the whole heart. And God doesn't really care what you look like. I mean, think about it. He's the one who made you what you look like. If you don't like what you look like, take that up with Him. Okay? He's not concerned with the outside appearance. He's concerned about your heart. And you're the one who determines where your heart is with God. See? And He wants your heart that is in love with Him. Because heart really does matter. So, because heart matters, the challenge throughout this whole study and from now on is for us to pay attention to the condition of our hearts. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this study. We're going to see David in all kinds of different situations that he faced in life. Situations that, as you look at them, they're really not that much different than what you and I face in our lives. And so, the point is, in looking at these things that David faced in his life, what can we learn from him to help us to have the right heart for God? As we face all the different challenges that we face in life, just like David faced. Okay? Next week, we're going to talk about facing the giants that we face in our life, just like David did. And what does our heart have to do with the giants that we face in our lives? So that's where we're going. It's all about the heart. Why? Because heart matters. So this morning, as we get ready to have an invitation song and offer an invitation, I want to challenge you to do this. Look at your heart. Where is your heart right now this morning in your relationship with God? Is your relationship, could it be described more as kind of half-hearted? Have you been more concerned about what's on the outside than what's on the inside? I want to encourage you to think about that and challenge yourself. If there's some heart problems that are going on, and we all know, you know, when you got heart problems, they can kill, right? But we know that physically, well, the same is true spiritually. If you've got heart problems, you don't get them taken care of, then spiritually you can die. So the challenge is for us to, let's fix our heart problems. Let's check them and see, what do we need to fix so that we can have a pure heart for God? If we can help you in any way to do that, if there's something that you're struggling with in your life that maybe has got your heart all twisted up, then let's help you with that so that your heart can be strong and healthy for the Lord. Maybe someone here this morning is not yet a Christian. You haven't given your heart to the Lord yet. You have the opportunity to do that right now, this morning.
Amen.
If you're ready to give your heart to the Lord, you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. You can give your heart to the Lord right now, this morning. Wes has a song that he's chosen, and we're going to sing and use that as an invitation. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to maybe have a private prayer or conversation with him about there. I'll be up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's